So now let me introduce today's speaker, Zhenghan Wang. Zhenghan Wang is a mathematician. He got his PhD in San Diego, University of San Diego in 1993. After that, he went to this University of Michigan, and then Indiana University. Then later joined Microsoft Station Q, and have been there since then. And he also associate faculty in the University of California, Santa Barbara. You know, Zhenghan is a start as a mathematician, a topologist working on topology. Then he started interested in working in the quantum computation. And more recently, working on the condensed matter physics related topological phase of matter and et cetera. And I know my good friends, and I can talk to him because he took 2 years of many body theory class. I try to gain all my modern mathematical knowledge really from him. Today he will talk about the topological quantum field theory in nature and the topological quantum computation.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. So, so it might be a great pleasure to visit here. So, basically, what I'm going to do today is to tell you at Microsoft, we are going to, well, we try to build a quantum computer using topological phase of matter. So, I think it's a dream, but it's very unrealistic. If we want to classify all quantum phase of matter. I think that's actually, I don't even know it's well defined, or we can't define it. But a more realistic goal may be to classify something called symmetry enriched topological order, and in all dimensions. I still think this is really hard. And you know, as in many things, you know, when it's too hard, we try to reduce to special cases, and hopefully we don't get something completely trivial. So I think as we heard this morning in the conference, one special case is the so-called short-range entangled states. And this actually has some really beautiful theories. And I will just mention, there are many beautiful theories. I just mentioned two highlights. One is Xiao Gang and his collaborators, Xie Chen, Deng Cheng, and Liu. They use group cohomology to construct a theory. It's almost complete, but we really don't know. And another highlight is Alexei Kitaev. He classified free fermions using K theory. And as we heard this morning, actually, I think probably the general theory will be some kind of a generalized cohomology theories. So I think this picture is pretty reasonable. So all we really need to figure out is what kind of omega spectrum in the sense of topology would classify them. And I will focus on something kind of a perpendicular. So as Xiaogang mentioned, by training, I'm a topologist, actually as a low dimension topologist. So I will talk about spatial dimensions 1, 2, 3. And there are some high energy physicists here. So, and as we mentioned this morning, so Wallace's dimension most of the time means spatial dimension. So I use the uppercase D. And then the space time dimension will be either the lowercase d or the n, which means one dimension higher. This would be very important, otherwise, very confusing. So I will focus most of my time on classified two dimensional topological orders, which Xiaogang invented many, many years ago. And I probably don't have time to say much about symmetry, which actually Lucas mentioned this morning. And 3D is much more interesting and much harder. And I don't think I will say anything today, but I will say something on Friday. So the application of topological phase of matter would be to build a quantum computer. So I think Feynman and many other pioneers basically taught us that the universe is the ultimate quantum computer. But unfortunately, we cannot really control it. It's notoriously, you know, quantum information is really fragile. And fortunately, there's something called topology, which is quantum information can be locked into, and then they are protected from local noise. And at Microsoft Station Q, actually, we are pursuing this topological protection of qubits. And actually, topology is really precise. Sorry, I tried to show this small video. Apparently, I don't know how to do it. Let me see. I think I might have to. This is the first time I want to show a video, but it's a demo. So let's see if I can do from here. Okay. No? Okay, sorry. Apparently, it didn't go as planned. Somehow, it didn't show. So I could just tell you what they are. So what I'm showing here is actually a Möbius band. It's very easy to describe. And then this is just a cylinder. So what it is that if you just take the circle, and at each point, you attach a real line. And there are really two ways to do it. One is just strictly up, and that's give the cylinder. And another way to do it is that you take a sheet of paper, you turn a half twist, and then glue them together. That's called a Möbius band. If you look at them locally, exactly the same. It's just a two-dimensional thing. But globally, one is one-sided, the Möbius band, and the other is the cylinder. And actually, this is really the essence of this whole topological thing. If you replace the circle by a torus, and you replace a real line by a complex line, and that actually has something called a Chern number, and that's actually explaining this famous integer quantum Hall state. And the integer quantum Hall state has this new, that's basically the Chern number. And the point of topology is that it's very precise. And that's actually what you can get by measuring electric conductance or resistance. And it's to 10 decimal places. And in physics, there are only very few cases you can beat this precision. And normally, you need to do humongous computation, like the electrodynamic moment. So really, topology by you is this unprecedented precision. And that's what we need to build a quantum computer. We need many, many nines in order to get a quantum computer. So that's basically the two things I'm going to tell you. So to be more specific, what I'm going to tell you is two spatial dimensions. So this is really the theme which I will talk about. So the important thing is the two-dimensional topological phase of matter. That would be the hardware for a topological quantum computer. And then the low-energy physics will be topological quantum field theory. This is unified by algebraic structure called the modular tensor category. And actually, these are mathematical theorems now that from modular tensor category or from topological quantum field theory, you can get to topological quantum computation. So therefore, as long as you have topological phase of matter and you can really control it well, you will have a quantum computer. And as a mathematician, we like to define things. And there's a reason for that. For physicists, you can always point to something to say, oh, here's the world we study. But for mathematicians, we don't have that luxury. We have to define very precisely what we study. And one thing I really want to define is topological phase of matter. I think that's actually pretty hard. So I will really say a few words later, too. So and actually, we heard this morning, it's all start with the same thing. So what I mean by topological phase of matter, basically what it is a class of gapped Hamiltonians. And I want to emphasize gapped in the following ways. So what I consider is that you have a two-dimensional same material. You imagine you have atoms at each site. And then your total Hilbert space will be a tensor product. Now that's the encoded locality. And then you have a Hamiltonian, which is a local, means that it's acting non-trivially only at a small point, at a small disk. And then gap means the following. So I will only talk about finite dimensional Hilbert spaces. So this will be Hermitian matrices. And obviously, by linear algebra, if you have a finite dimensional Hilbert space, and you have a Hermitian matrix, and then the eigenvalues will be all different real numbers. And the smallest, and that's the ground state energy, and they have the excited one. And the Hamiltonian I'm looking for, I have this special property, which is you have quite a few which are stuck together, all really close to each other. And then there's a big constant as the system size goes to infinity. The important thing is it goes to infinity. It's never vanish. And not only this never vanish, if you look at those stuck together, you want them to close the gap exponentially fast. That's very important. They need to exponentially go together. And that's what I call a gapped topological of a Hamiltonian. And then you can define, I think this can always be almost made into rigorous, you define two Hamiltonians which represent the same topological phase if you can continue smoothly connect one to the other. And occasionally, you need extra local degree freedom. You need to stabilize. And that's what I call a topological phase of matter. And then, once you have a topological phase of matter, there are two ways you can model this. One, you can consider only the ground state. And then you need to consider all the possible spaces. And that means the low energy is a topological quantum field theory. Or you can consider the so-called elementary excitations, which means excited states in the field above the ground state. And there's a beautiful structure called a unitary module tensor category, or an anion model. And there are two equivalent ways. And actually, I didn't say this, but in this slide, it's a mathematical theorem. If you define topological quantum field theory in the right way, which means you define as a two monoidal functor, and then 2 + 1 topological quantum field theory is the same thing as a module tensor category. So they are really the same thing. And I will use the word topological phase of matter to mean an equivalent class of Hamiltonian. I would use the topological order to mean that the topological quantum field theory or the anion model, which is the unitary module tensor category, encoded by this Hamiltonian. Since we have two words, we might as well use them. So I will quickly remind you of topological quantum field theory. If you speak the language as many mathematicians do, it's just a symmetrical monoidal functor. And I noticed Dan, earliest mathematician speaker, he didn't want to use the language. So it's a symmetrical monoidal functor. And if you're not familiar with this language, I can give you all the axioms. And that's what I would call RTL sequel type TKFT, which means we don't extend beyond codimension one. So you consider all your spaces. And normally there are structures. So probably the minimal you want to say is you want oriented manifolds. That's all your space. And then you have borders between them, just means space-time between them. And then a symmetrical monoidal functor, what it does is that for each space, you get a Hilbert space, if you talk about unitary TKFT. And then for each space-time, the two n will give you two Hilbert spaces, so there will be a linear map between them. And that's the evolution, which will go from one time to another time. And if you just unwrap the whole definition, so what you have is this axiom. An empty set is considered both as a two-dimensional manifold and a three-dimensional manifold. As a two-dimensional manifold, it gives a one-dimensional Hilbert space. And then if you have two disjoint union of two space, you should get a tensor product. And if you have orientation reversal, you should get a dual vector space. If you get a cylinder, then there are no topological change. It should get the identity. So that's the topological meaning of topological field theory. And then if you have two broadisms, if you glue them together, and each of them have their own linear map, and you should get their composition. And if actually the Rishkin-Troyev or Witten-Chern-Simon theory, they don't satisfy this condition. And normally there's an anomaly which is here, which is a root of unity. But I will consider only those which are so-called normally free, which are exactly equal. And then you can ask the question, suppose you have a topological quantum field theory. What do you mean by this is this realized as topological phase of matter? Actually, Dan already alluded this morning. This is actually a non-trivial question, because the Hamiltonian is depends on a lattice. And the topological field theory really is a continuous theory. And you really need to define some kind of limit. So I think we can do this case in two dimensions. So let me just tell you what I think we should do. So first, when we say Hamiltonian, we really don't mean a Hamiltonian. We mean a Hamiltonian schema. What it means is that we are not interested in a single Hamiltonian. We are interested in a prescription which tells us how to write down a Hamiltonian. We have a lattice. So that's what I refer to as a Hamiltonian schema, which really is a recipe for how to write down Hamiltonian. And then for surface space, we need to start with a triangulation, but there are many different triangulations. So each Hamiltonian will give you a different ground state. And the way we organize things is there's something called the Pechner theorem. And that's organized all the triangulation into something called a inverse system. And then what you need to take a limit of this thing. And then I would say a Hamiltonian schema, which is gapped, represents a topological physical matter if this functor of you take your space, you take a solution, you write on your Hamiltonian, you take off your ground state, and then you take a limit. This gives you a topological quantum field theory as I defined. And then I would say this topological quantum field theory is realized by a topological physical matter. Yes? So this is just one dimension down. Normally, people only say the partition function is independent of a triangulation. That's actually, it just has a trivial limit. I'm talking one dimension down, which is talking about the Hilbert space should also be independent of the triangulation. But that's impossible to be independent of the triangulation because the Hilbert space is always like this. You give a triangulation, you put one edge, and you give a Hilbert space, and then you cancel them. If you do a different triangulation, they might not even be connected to Hilbert space. So therefore, you need a way to connect them. So I wouldn't say they're equivalent. I'm just saying I'm asking for more than just what you said. The partition function is independent of a triangulation. That's actually definitely should be true. But I'm asking the next level, which when you write on Hamiltonian, the ground state should be identified canonically, actually functorially, for different triangulation. So this is extra requirement on this. So actually, this question is pretty subtle. I want to point out a numerical work done by Giffrey here, actually. So this famous Hamiltonian by Houdin, there's no doubt to me, this represents the semion theory. But if you look at the numerical data done by Giffrey, they give you the S matrix, give the T matrix, there's no doubt this is the semion theory. But I wouldn't really call this immediately, this represent this, because I couldn't show analytically this Hamiltonian is gapped. And I also couldn't set up the canonical isomorphism of a ground state. And I would really like to see that this is true, but I have suspicion this cannot be done. As you do the triangulation finer and finer, I suspect the bound dimension will blow up to infinity. So it's really not something I think there's a continuous limit. So therefore, we have to be really careful when you say something realizes a topological quantum field theory. And therefore, I will insist not the kind of Hamiltonian I just mentioned. I will insist the Hamiltonian have this local form, and also they are all local commuting projectors. And I'm really looking for realization by local commuting projectors. And then obviously, the most difficult mathematical question, gap, is completely trivial because it's just Hermitian operators. The eigenvalue are all integers, so therefore there's a gap, obviously. So therefore, I'm looking for realization of topological field theory by local gap Hamiltonian. And this seems a lot to ask, but this famous example due to Kitaev, which realized something, which is the following. I think probably most people see this Hamiltonian just quickly. So you take a square lattice, which make periodic boundary continuous, that's the torus, and then you write down this local Hilbert space for each edge, you put a qubit there. And then you write down for each vertex, you write down this local operator AV for each vertex, and for each plaquette, you write down this plaquette term. And then I claim this Hamiltonian realized a famous topological quantum field theory, which is the Z2 gauge theory. And actually, this one is so nice, actually, if you just try to figure out the ground state, and it's only determined by the Z2 homology. So really, the ground state is canonical isomorphic to the group algebra of Z2 homology. And they're really independent of the triangulation, actually. The limit is really trivial. So this one, you can really prove this realized the Z2 gauge theory. And now you can ask, you know, which Hamiltonian, which topological quantum field theory can be realized by local projectors? And I think most people here believe that it's only the quantum doubles in two dimensions. I only talk about 2 plus 1 dimension. And I don't think that's a mathematical proof, but I don't see any room for this to be wrong. And the interesting case, of course, is the Rishkin-Troy FTQFT, or physically the Witten-Chern-Simon theory. And there, the question is really, really unknown. And I suspect this cannot be realized in general at renormalization fixed point. So that's really what we are looking for. And at this moment, we are thinking about topological phase of matter or topological quantum field theory by looking at the ground state. And another way to look at it, as I mentioned, is that we can look at excitation. Well, the thing is, you know, as I give the example for the semion theory, we have a Hamiltonian, but we cannot prove mathematically this gap. And we also cannot, well, we don't know there's a proof that there's a continuous limit. So, but I have no doubt they are all true. Well, there's some kind of limit because the numeric is so convincing. But I'm looking for a mathematical chiral theory to be realized. But that's not for local commuting projectors. So now we were thinking about excitations. And it's a theorem, actually. If you look at elementary excitations in a gapped system, they behave like particles, which means they have a Gaussian decay or exponential decay. This is due to metahistine. And it's also known in fractal quantum Hall states that the elementary excitations are anions. So if you look at the statistic on the circle, and you have a boson plus one, fermion minus one, in principle, you can get any phase here for a billion anions. But due to stability, I think you only got rational multiple of pi. And that's give you anions. And in general, if you look at a topological phase of matter, you can ask for the finite energy elementary excitations. And you make them equivalent if they differ by local operators. So the local operators can move an anion, but they cannot change the anion type. And then you can treat them as particles. You can ask the algebraic structure of bring them together, fuse them, breathe them. And then there's a very sophisticated mathematical structure called the unitary modular category. And I will use those three words basically interchangeably, which is unitary modular category, anion model, and the 2D topological order. So that's really you look at the excitations, which is the response to perturbation. So, and then go back to the toric code, you can also mathematically prove that the toric code Hamiltonian due to Kitaev realized the quantum double of Z2. And here you can introduce excitation using string operator, and they can deduce everything from this Hamiltonian. So therefore, really, you can see that for this kind of Hamiltonian, and it's really, you can deduce all those mathematically. And I think I didn't mention, but I showed in the slide, this has a generalization, which is the famous Lan-Wen-Wen model, which is if you have a drain field center, this can be generalized to this case. But as far as I know, nobody has written down a complete mathematical proof that this can be everything can be deduced from the Hamiltonian. So the mathematical structure is the so-called unitary modular tensor category. And if you speak the higher category language, so this is just some non-degenerate spherical braided fusion category. But we can also to be really elementary. So what is a modular tensor category? So it's just a bunch of numerical data. So the first thing you need is you need a finite set, which tells you what are the possible anion types. Those will be the kind of elementary particle in your universe. And then the number of anion types is called the rank of the theory. So this tells you how many different anion types. And this is always kind of one higher than you think, because as a mathematician, you always put the trivial things in. So if its rank is one, that means completely trivial. And then there's the famous fusion rule, which tells you if you bring two anion together, and you ask what anion comes out, and the fusion rule tells you which one will come out, and what's the possible different ways, the fusion channels. And then you need to choose local Hilbert space for fusion and for splitting. And this needs to satisfy consistency called the pentagon. And if you want braiding, you need the hexagon. So basically, it's a solution of a bunch of polynomial equations. And the difficult thing is not to get a solution. The difficult thing is actually if you have two solutions, you want to decide if this represents the same theory or not. And that's a highly non-trivial problem because you need to show that you can always change bases here. You need to show when they can be related by change of a basis, which is a gauge choice. So that's what is I call an ANIA model. And you think that's very complicated. Actually, they are very rare. And so my collaborator and I actually really try hard to classify them. Actually, up to rank 5, which means up to 5 ANIA types, or 4 non-trivial ones, we basically know all the theory. They're all one way or the other related to Trans-Simon theory. But in general, if you fix the number of ANIA types, it's a general theorem that actually there are only finite many possibilities. So there are not that many. So it really means that in principle, it's feasible to classify them by rank, which means you fix the rank, you can ask how many ANIA models we have. So I think I talk about model topological quantum field theory by using first the ground state, and then you need to consider all spaces. Or you can talk about excitations, and that's the ANIA model. There, you only consider a local patch. You just consider the disk. And the general principle is that they should be the same. And because physics is supposed to be local, so realistic topological quantum field theory should be really determined by local data. And this actually is true if you require topological field theory to be fully extended, which means your theory is defined all the way from space-time dimension to point. But as we learn from quantum field theory, from fractal quantum Hall, that's not necessarily what we want. We sometimes want to stop at a certain point. Actually, I would argue we should always stop at codimension 2. It's just like in physics, you study derivative, you study second derivative, but you don't really study third, fourth derivative. And they don't really have a physical meaning. So I'm really interested in stop at a certain point, not fully extended. I think the problem is much higher. The problem is much more complicated. But basically, we want to find out what's the algebraic local data which are encoded a topological field theory. And in 2D, we have a very good theory, the module tensor category. In 3D, I think that's the most interesting question. Well, I think I've talked about the fractal quantum Hall. So at this point, we all believe it's considered to be a 2D system. So therefore, it's described by a 3-2-1 topological field theory. It does not go down all the way to point. It's related to the question, if you realize a fractal quantum Trans-Simon theory chiral by a lattice Hamiltonian, I don't think we can realize by local commuting projectors. And you can realize by a Hamiltonian. But then if you run the renormalization flow, I would expect the local Hilbert space attached to a bound or an edge for a mathematician will go up to infinity. Or you can use proper gapless to do it. So that's what I would say the difference. I don't want to extend all the way to a point. Extend as a topological theory. So I think to me, the most interesting question right now is, what's the corresponding module tensor category in 3+1? So in a sense, we already have a definition. It's just you write down something called pattern moves. That's define the algebraic structure. But the question is, we don't really have a way, like a quantum group theory, to provide solutions or something like that. So this is basically, I tried to tell you, the topological field theory. They said, well, we'll build a quantum computer, so now we'll start to change a little bit, tell you quantum computing. So I would say it's fair to claim that information science will be changed dramatically by quantum physics. And theoretically, we have this really astonishing result due to Peter Schur and some other people. But I think for the subject, the most interesting developed for the last 2 decades in quantum computing, it's not about algorithm, it's about if we can build a quantum computer. And then you can ask the question, why we want to build a quantum computer? Can we build a quantum computer? And how can we build a quantum computer and when? And I won't address when, because that's a Microsoft secret, so I won't tell you. And for can, and I'm convinced we can, it's just a matter of time. So therefore, for the rest of the talk, I will tell you why and how we are going to build it. And you know, when I started the subject in 1996, the first question people always ask when you talk about quantum computing is when you can build a quantum computer. And the standard answer is 50 years. And that's just irresponsible because 50 years, most people are gone. So that's really, that doesn't mean anything. And then it started to change. It changed to 20 years. But now I think people think in the next probably 5 to 10 years, there's a very good chance we will see a not a full quantum computer, but we'll have a quantum device which will beat any supercomputer. So the number is 100 qubits. So the computation power in a simulation basically is 42 qubits. And every 10 years, you can add a 1 to it. That's the power. And if you can get a quantum computer of 100 qubits, I think you can guess that's really good. So I think we have a good chance to see some like 100 qubit quantum device. And that would be good enough to do many things. OK, so that's actually already giving you one reason why, you know, we want to build a quantum computer. And another reason is factoring. But I don't think this is a good reason, actually. The only thing you can think of is bad, you know, things. So, but still, it's impressive. If you look at the RSA 2048, and they used to be worth $200,000, but I think they took off the list. But this takes a classical computer probably a billion years to factorize. For a quantum computer, says 100 seconds, maybe a day, a month, but that's good enough. So that's really, really one reason we want a quantum computer. But really, I think the most useful thing for a quantum computer would be simulation. We want to understand the properties of materials. The first application probably would be quantum chemistry. You know, like actually probably try to figure out how to produce fertilizers better. So I think that's probably the first application. And you can ask, you know, why quantum computer would be faster than classical computer. And obviously it's because of these two fundamental properties of quantum mechanics, superposition and entanglement. Actually, I once asked Peter Shor, which one did he think is more important for his algorithm? And he says it's superposition. But I think we also all think now entanglement is also very important for this discussion. So these are the two, the qubit is just a quantum embodiment of a bit by using these two principles. And it's so good, you know, to have a quantum computer, and also so cool. So many people try to build them, and here is just one list of all the efforts I know. Well, there are many more. So IBM is building a quantum computer using conventional circuit model, using superconductors. And Microsoft, that's what I'm going to focus on next, we'll try to build something called a topological qubit. And then there's the old Bell Lab, and they are doing the same thing using quantum fractional quantum Hall state. And D-Wave has a quantum device, but we really don't know what it is. And Google, I think, is trying to improve D-Wave device, but they're also building a kind of a topological quantum computer. They are building the Torrey code and using the two boundary conditions of the Torrey code. So it's also kind of a topological quantum computer. And even the Chinese company Alibaba has a quantum computing branch. So there are lots of efforts, and most of them are software companies. I think there's a reason for that, because software companies don't realize how hard it is. So I think after Peter Shor, I would say the best idea in quantum computation is due to Michael Friedman and Alexey Kitaev, which is to use topology to protect quantum information. And you can ask, why topology? And topology is the part of geometry which is, actually, there are two fundamental things in topology. One is topology properties survive small deformation. And you can think that as error. Okay, so therefore, small error won't change topological properties. And the famous example is Gauss-Bonnet theorem. And the second thing about topology is that the boundary of a boundary is empty. There are no boundaries. That's very important. And those two things, actually, small deformation invariance and boundary of a boundary has no boundary, is unified by the so-called generalized cohomology theory, actually. So both of them actually is very important for us to use to protect quantum information. And personally, I got into this business in 1996. My advisor was Michael Friedman. And when I graduated from San Diego, so I started to study quantum topology. One day, like sometime in 1996, Mike called me and said, oh, you know, I want to turn quantum topology into computer science. And what he is thinking, he was thinking at that time, was the following. If you take any physical theory, and you will have a computation model, but extremely difficult to get a new model. And it used to be there's only one, the Turing machine. And then we have a quantum model. So Michael Friedman was thinking, maybe use quantum field theory, we have a more powerful computation model. And turns out that was not quite right. And it's a theorem due to Friedman, Kitaev, Larson, and myself that actually top particle quantum field theory won't give you any extra power. They are the same thing as quantum computing. And it does not rule out maybe string theory can give you more power. But the trouble is, it's very difficult to formulate a computation model using string theory. For example, unitarity is an issue, and all kinds of issues. You can also ask conformal field theory. But basically, as far as we think, quantum field theory won't give you any extra computation power, although this is still an open question, because we don't really know how to formulate quantum field theory mathematically. And at the same time, Kitaev is thinking about computation using a anion model. And he said is more relevant to this discussion is that if you can find a quantum system which has its topological degree freedom, and then this will be full tolerance at hardware level. You don't need to do software. Actually, our computer now, you don't do error correction. But in the early days, you do need error correction. And the vacuum tube be burned out quickly. So the idea is great, but you might wonder, topological physics matter is just science fiction. But that's not really true. We know quantum Hall states, they are topological physics matter. And unfortunately, we need more than topological physics matter. We need non-Abelian states. We need something having non-Abelian statistic. And the really natural candidate right now is the quantum Hall state at 5½. Which is a beautiful sample, but I won't really tell you about. And at Microsoft, we are doing something slightly different. Instead of working on fractal quantum Hall, which we did for 5 years, and we switched to engineering, we tried to build topological nanowires, which will reproduce non-Abelian physics. And that's what I'm going to tell you later. So I want to say one thing about non-Abelian statistics. It used to be defined, or most people define non-Abelian statistics as you take two particles and then you break them, and you will get a matrix statistic that they don't commute. And I want to point out, I think Xiaogang shared with me this point of view, which is actually more fundamental is not this, just this matrices. More fundamental is degeneracy. Apparently, nature absolutely hates degeneracy. They will use every chance to lift degeneracy. And not being anion, you need this exponential accurate degeneracy. So an important quantum number for anion is a quantum dimension. That's exactly characterized how fast the degeneracy goes as you put the anion in a plane with a boundary condition. And this number, which is the growth rate as the number of anions goes, that's called the quantum dimension. And when this dimension equals 1, that's Abelian anion. That means in the plane, there are no degeneracy. But non-Abelian anion, there will be degeneracy. So that's a defining property of non-Abelian anion, which is in the plane, they have degeneracy. And one thing I will show you actually is that's all you need. Degeneracy will imply the statistics. And here's the argument. So for simplicity, let me assume you have an anion which is self-due. And that means when you fuse, this is non-Abelian, so the ground state will always come out. And then at least another particle anion should come out. And then I want to show that there will be no anion with this property that we do some braiding and everything just identity up to a scalar. Okay? So how do you see that? And consider this braid. And this basically is the commutator of a B1 and a B2. Okay? And if you look at this commutator, you can think about this process of you create a pair of X anion from the vacuum. You have another one, and then you braid them, and then you fuse to Y, and you go this. And now let's compute this amplitude in two different ways. First, let's assume this thing here is give you a trivial statistic. So that means this will be identity. And then what you can do is that means you from here, 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 and here, 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 they all go straight down. And that will give you this picture. Okay, it's all straight down. And all you get is a loop here, which is some non-zero scalar, and you get to this thing here. And then there's a famous no tadpole rule, which is, this is basically Schur's lemma, there's no non-trivial amplitude from ground state to any non-trivial particle. So that's the zero state. On the other hand, if you compute this just by twisting this line, you see actually this is non-zero. So this contradiction shows that this can never be just straightforward identity. So therefore, degeneracy is enough to guarantee non-abelian statistics. If you have those non-abelian anions, so here's the cartoon for you to do quantum computation using anions. So what you do, you start with your material, and then you create a pair of anions. And then depends on which problem you want to solve, you choose a braid. Like you want to factorize a certain integer, you need to choose a particular braid. And then you braid this, and then you annihilate. And then you look for the probability that when you annihilate, nothing come out. They all go to ground state. You just repeat this polynomial time. You record this probability. And there's a mathematical calculation to show that this probability compute the linking variant of this link, absolute value square. And it's a classical theorem that most of the linking variants is Sharpe-Hard to compute. So this is really approximate a Sharpe-Hard problem. And that's the cartoon, how you do computation. In particular, and there's one particular theory, which is SU2 level 3, which means SU2 Chern-Simon theory, the fifth law of unity, says that anything quantum computer can do can be translated into this problem using SU2 level 3. So that's a bunch of theorems which I proved with many people. So it just shows that this cartoon picture is completely equivalent to the standard quantum circuit model if you choose the right theory. But there's one more new thing which is interesting I want to point out, which is generically, if you pick a topological quantum field theory, if you pick an anion, and generically this will be universal for quantum computation. And there are many cases actually when we study a real system, it turns out the anion or something you get won't be universal. So therefore, we need to, it's just kind of ironic that the nature is like almost give us a quantum computer, but not quite. So they will give us anion, but seems like the anion won't be braiding universal. You cannot just braid them unknown. So therefore, what you need to do is you need to add something extra, like a measurement in the middle, or do something to supplement braiding. And most of, okay, almost all the theory in lab working on them is those that they are not universal by braiding alone. So that's kind of an interesting phenomena. So now let me tell you our Microsoft system, the Majorana system. So I think of all the non-abelian objects, we are closest to really harness Majoranas. So the Majorana story starts with Kitaev. It seems like in this subject, every good idea originated from Alexei Kitaev. So in 2001, he wrote down this famous chain. And it's just a standard 1D Hamiltonian with the tunneling amplitude, chemical potential, and the superconducting term. And the thing which prevents this from directly relevant to experiment is that this is a Hamiltonian for spinless electrons. And we know electrons have spin, so this is not directly relevant. And but if you look at this Hamiltonian, it depends on the parameter, there's a completely trivial phase, and then there's a topological phase. And if you need a topological phase, and then at the boundary, you have something called a Majorana zero mode. And this Majorana zero mode is basically the non-abelian objects we are looking at. And then there are some physicists which are very smart. You cannot, electrons always have spin. You cannot get rid of them. But you can lock the electron spin into momentum. And that's effectively make the electron spinless. And that's what Hamiltonian does for you. So you put a semiconductor wire coated by superconductor, and you have a magnetic field, and that will effectively realize the Kitaev model. And then at its two end, you will see Majorana zero mode, which basically are non-abelian objects. That's basically what we are doing at Microsoft. The two heroes are the two experimental people, Leo Cohen-Hoven and Charlie Marcus. So they are developing this technology, which is to first confirm the Majorana zero mode, and then we want to breed them. And so the Majorana zero mode is really the same thing as the sigma particle in the Ising theory. And in the Ising theory, there are three particle types, the ground state, the Ising anion, and the Majorana fermion. And the Ising anion basically is realized by the Majorana zero mode. If you look at the fusion rule, that says this guy has quantum dimension square root 2. And that's what we are really working on. And actually, I think at this moment, at least for people like me and all the people at Station Q, we have no doubt that this Majorana zero mode is realized by this nanowires. And it used to be in Leo's data published in Science, there are all kinds of possibilities. And recently, there are two material breakthrough due to Charlie Marcus and his lab, which make, you know, solve this so-called soft gap problem, and it's no doubt for us the Majorana zero mode. So therefore, what we really move on is try to demonstrate fusion rules, and then try to break them. And you might obviously object to this, because these are nanowires. There's nothing to braid in one dimension. In one dimension, there's no braiding. But you can make this into T junctions. It's basically 1.5 dimension. And that gives you enough room for you to braid them. So that's what we are working on. And if you really want to do, here's the way you want to do quantum computation. So you want to take four Majorana zero mode, and you take them in groups. And then each of these will be a qubit. And then you will implement a quantum circuit by using these groups of Majorana zero mode. Ideally, you want to have this picture. You want to say, I want to implement a quantum circuit. I embedded my qubits into the ground state of this Majorana zero mode, and then I want to make this diagram commute. And if you choose the right theory, like SU2 level 3, you can make this work up to any precision. But for the one which we are interested, the Majoranas, it turns out you are out of luck. If you compute the breadth statistic, and you see that the matrix that you get is pretty simple. They are all so-called Clifford gates. And there's a theorem due to Kneel and Gottesman. This is basically a classical computer. Okay, so the Ising theory, if you only talk about braiding, there's no power. It's just a quantum memory with classical power. If you go to through a finite group, there are still two cases. If there's a case like this one, which is basically classical, which means that you can classical simulate efficiently. There are also cases, it's a finite group, like SU2 level 4. And the finite group is complicated enough, if you throw in measurement, you can make it universal. Okay, I would conjecture, I think it's unknown, that if even if you throw in measurement in the Ising theory, it can still be simulated classically efficiently. So even measurement for Ising theory won't give you any power. So therefore, if you really, in a sense, it's a very difficult problem. I almost confident we will get this kind of things, but then it's basically a classical computer with a quantum memory. So so then what do we do? I think the actually, this Majorana zero mode really is not quite an anion theory. What it really is, it's defects, actually. And what it is if you look at the Hamiltonian, what it is it's a parity-protected one-dimensional topological order. And parity is like Z2, but it's not Z2. You know, you have a symmetry, at least you can break it, but parity cannot be broken. So it's a very special thing. So really, the Majorana chain is a parity-protected thing. And I think to go forward more realistically, probably we should think about defects. And those actually are pretty realistic. And if you have the right defects, there are many proposals, which I won't have time to really go into. And those kind of defects has extra computation power. For example, If you take the fractal quantum Hall, you can engineer basically SU2 level 4. And then actually, we know SU2 level 4 can be made universal by throwing measurement. So that might be a better way to proceed. And another way to proceed is that although you get Ising theory, which is basically a classical computer with a quantum memory, and you can still do a so-called magic state distillation. And you can see that what's the difference between this and a traditional quantum computer? And the difference is that this gate, I think the battery is dead, those Clifford gate in Ising theory is realized exponentially precise. So therefore, when you do distillation, you won't introduce any extra error. So therefore, there's still one advantage. Another way to do it is just we are missing one gate, which is the T gate. And you might say, well, just do a teleportation. Once a while, I need a T gate. I just get it somewhere. And that's another proposal. So there are many proposals to finish the building of a quantum computer, but now it's really, really clean. So that's why I mentioned this defect, although I don't have time to talk about. And I think I will end with the last slide, which is due to Xiaogao. I think it's really exciting subject, this really time. Xiaogao likes to say the second quantum revolution. And we have, really need a mathematical framework to cover this many-body physics, topological materials, and I would say quantum mathematics in the sense that we really need something new if this whole area of quantum computation become a reality, which I fully expect to be so. Thank you very much.
Okay, any questions and comments?
Here's a question.
By measurement, do you mean some automorphism of X cross X, which does not necessarily come from grade group?
Yeah, so by measurement, I mean the following. So you have to be extremely careful, because we know there's a theorem that measurement alone is universal. So you have to be careful to tell you what are allowed for you to measure. And the only one I would give you, I don't know, I have chalk here. So the only thing I will allow you to measure is that you have two anion. I allowed you to measure the total charge. And that's really, I think, is physical. What I mean by total charge is that you take two anion, which means two simple objects in the category. And you want to know when they fused, what the object will come out of this fusion. And that's the only thing I want you to have. And then, projection to this, yeah. But I won't allow you to do anything other fancy thing, because if you're allowed to change bases, you introduce too much power. That's really not realistic.
So basically, this projector
can
generate an algebra
which is already very big, even in the case of k equals 4. Yeah. This, if you're in this projection, you just, there's also another important thing, which is in the traditional quantum circuit model, you can always postpone the measurement to the end. And in topological quantum computation, that's not true. If you do in the middle and do in the end, they have different power. So that's why they are useful.
So you invite the only environment, which
consists with the structure of K. Yeah. It's completely consistent, actually. And that's what I call physical.
So other questions?
Well, you can, but it's a matter of efficiency, right? I'm not, quantum computation is not about, if you can simulate anything. It's about how fast you can simulate. As far as computability, I think we still have only one model, which is Turing's model. Everything is still computable, means computable by Turing machine. It's just in quantum computation, the matrix multiplication takes exponential time to do it.
Any other questions?
Yeah, you mentioned that you only need one quantum Hall state to do universal quantum computation. and whether there is some, you know, there is these parafermion states, these Fermion states may not be universal. I wonder whether there is some other quantum Hall state which is kind of more likely, or whether there's some candidate which might be for this.
You know, I think the if the standard conjecture is true, which for 12/5 there is this, you know, SU2 level 3 there, and then we are all good. But probably that's too much to ask. And I think other than that, I don't think we have any non-abelian quantum Hall state to work. So
I see. So you say there is a quantum Hall state with a filling fraction 12/5.
12/5.
Which could be this SU2 level 3.
I think the conjecture is, and the right condition is SU2 level 3.
I see.
But that one is, the gap is extremely small. It's a 50 millikelvin,
okay,
which nobody can work with. And only a few labs have ever seen this state.
I see.
And that's actually the first 5 years of Station Q. That's what we want to do. And then, Bell Lab fell apart. That's the unfortunate thing. And then Lauren Pfeiffer is the guy to produce sample. His new machine just started. So maybe there's a second round of hope, but we don't know. But I think 12/5 is the only other quantum Hall state potentially useful.
Yeah, I wonder whether graphene or some other material might be something.
Yeah, okay, so talk about graphene. So when we started, Hall-Stommer tried really hard to work on graphene. Unfortunately, the graphene, the size will break quickly, so you just don't get these exotic fractions. He was very, very excited about graphene, but he just didn't get exotic fractions.
Okay. So other questions and comments? OK, yeah, if not, let's thank you again.